Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
You sure are.
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive.
You're so blessed.
My name is Daniel Lim, and that's Todd Adkins.
Whoa!
All right, so the reason the introduction is exactly the same is because we have just not gotten much response for people wanting to change it, which basically means no one wants to change it. Pretty much. So take that, Todd. Ed.
I think it's just because they skip it. And if you did a different one, or we did a different one, it would work.
But we said we'd give them hundreds of dollars of swag if they wrote us a better one. No. Because I think the intro is what the intro is. 400 plus episodes.
Can't be wrong.
All right. So let's actually get straight into our question for today. It's from Mike. Let's listen in.
Should churches be treating their online live streams and services as a separate campus in multi-site or not?
All right. Short and sweet.
But not a short and sweet answer.
Okay. What's running through your mind right now?
Okay. So 2006, I believe.
Dude, that's 13 years ago.
Yes, it was 13 years ago, dude. And that's how old this question is. I hired a guy to run our campus, our internet campus is what we called it, at McLean. And he had run McCain Palin's campaign. He's now a church planter missionary.
Wait, McCain and Palin was 2006?
No, he had done that before that.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, he was really, really good. Mm-hmm. He was like in the New York Times for like best ads, you know, best money spent on social for political campaign, all this stuff. It's Owen Pond.
Okay.
Hi, Owen. Anyway, he's missionary now. Missionary planting in another country, which probably should remain nameless. But the cool thing about it was like, we were like, okay, we're going to invest in this. Why? Because DC is a very transient culture. Congress and everything goes in and out of session. So you have people traveling to and from and whatever. And we just saw it as two things. One, it was a way to reach our existing church and continue to serve them while they were away. And two, to bring in new people. So we actually treated it like it was a whole campus. They don't do that now. They've made a different transition. But I mean, including things like we'd be like, okay, it's Angel Tree. We are going to do that digitally. So you can, you know, ship it to the church, but go on Amazon or go on wherever, buy this item and ship it to the church, and we'll be happy to do that. I mean, it was crazy because you would have stories come out of hospitals and hospice, and the stories come from people who had just been out partying the night before and happened to be looking at their social media at the right time and saw us. This was back in the Wild Wild West
days.
So
that was the Wild Wild West, and the internet has changed quite a bit in 13 years. And you know a lot about the internet.
I mean, do know a thing or two about the interwebs.
Yes, both the dark webs and the light webs, right?
But, so, and that's where I got my start, though. I know you wanted to say something, but here's the deal. So if you hit advanced search and you know, were looking specifically in the DC area, you typed in church or whatever keyword you could use. Sometimes we would just use whatever was trending in the city and play off of it. But we would attempt to bring people into the internet service right that time, that morning, and then eventually try to get them in. So it was a person that was administrating that whole experience.
Yes.
At one time, we even had groups. We had small groups, and we did a shape workshop in London and in Moscow.
Okay, so the biggest difference between back then and now is back then you were bringing them to your website, right? And there are a lot of churches that still do that, right? And you can still live stream and do it that way by having it completely in your website. But increasingly, there's more and more churches who are doing it through, they're streaming it live on YouTube or Facebook, streaming it on Facebook.
Because that's
or,
where the kids are.
Yeah. So kids, in light of that, I mean, things have changed, right? It has changed. And I guess the question is, if you're doing an online service or you're doing a live stream, are you doing it for those who can never come to the church? Are you doing it for those who are a part of your church, but they can't make it that morning, right? So those are some of the questions that we're wrestling through right now. How would you do it differently today, knowing what you know about the internet and how things have changed?
Well, for our church, I don't know that we would do it differently, especially at that time. I mean, I know you're asking me today, how would you do it differently? I probably would leverage the existing platforms where people already are.
Would you have a designated campus pastor?
I don't know if I would do that anymore. Yeah. I mean, that person did do more than just that. Yeah. But that was their primary role.
But why not today then?
Because today I think it has shifted, and our focus would have shifted. Like, just like, I hate to use like the word marketing, but it's almost like you would get, I think it would be best utilized to get people, local people, into your church.
You're saying an online service is best used to get people into the local church.
Yeah, or to get people caught up on what's going on as they're traveling or whatever. We were in a very unique situation, so I don't pretend that's everybody's situation. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, I mean, there were countless stories of, hey, I was in the hospital with my mom and we were watching this after she had surgery and I was able, you know, to lead her to Christ. Or like, there were so many stories that were just crazy. So I would have said, yes, absolutely do it. I would leverage that position differently.
Yeah. No, that's right. Before. I mean, going to Mike's question, I wouldn't treat live stream as a separate campus, because like you, I would want to leverage that as a way to get people into a physical location. So I would, I would basically, even in the way that we're advertising it, even in the way that we're talking about it, it would really be more of a, hey, if you're traveling or if you can't come in, then we have this option. It wouldn't be a fifth service time. It wouldn't be a, 24/7, you can do this, that, or the other. It would really be a, because there's so much importance in bringing people and gathering people together, especially these days when loneliness is so high. I would even treat it as a way for it to even be a first time experience. So in the way that we word it, in the way that it's communicated, even have volunteers, I would equip volunteers to man it on Facebook or man it on wherever connected to a social network where there is chatting. And if you are hosting it on your website, make sure that there is a chat, that there are people, that there is a way to engage people, because that would really be a way for us to bring people and introduce people to the church.
Right.
Yeah.
I will tell you, and some people are, I'm going to lose them today and they'll never come back to the podcast after this. But maybe, because there were two reasons why we did this and two things were really successful. So DC is a place where, man, any given year you can be out 2 to 3 Sundays for snow, because you get significant snow there. But they're still not as prepared for it as, say, America's hat, Canada. So you guys probably don't cancel hardly at all ever on a Sunday.
No, it has to be really cold. Yeah.
But we would. And so it was whenever you miss Sunday, anybody that is listening to this that's ever had to miss a Sunday for snow knows you don't make up that Sunday, offering. That offering. Yeah. And so when you had a campus, it was a way to engage everybody from that element. But more importantly, this is where I don't want to lose you, and I want you to understand this. We had in case of emergency, break glass, kind of a packet that we said, hey, this year, because we know we're probably going to have one. Mm-hmm. This year when we have this Sunday, when we're out. We want you to use this as an evangelistic opportunity. And here's your, you know, packet on how to do that, suggestions, whatever. So it was like, this is the way to get your neighbors that would never come to our church. This is a way to get them into your house, host them well, and, you know, hopefully share Jesus with them and connect them to our church.
Yeah.
So, and that worked really well.
I like that. Let's just hear a quick word from our sponsors and we'll be right back. What guides your core beliefs? Are they founded upon solid truth, or are they based on others' opinions or your own emotions? What you believe about your purpose and value affects almost every area of your life, and this is a premise of the new film, Overcomer, in theaters August 23rd. It's the latest from the Kendrick brothers, makers of Courageous, War Room, and others. This movie has inspired the creation of several resources. For small groups, there's the Overcomer Bible Study. For individuals, there's a book called Defined. Both are based upon powerful insights from the book of Ephesians. You can learn more about all this at lifeway.com/overcomer. Now back to the episode. Okay, so going back to the campus, I would say, and if you're not live streaming your service, or if you don't have it online, the threshold to getting that on is extremely low these days, right? It's not very
difficult
anymore.
Find a seventh grader.
Yeah. So there's obviously that, and we don't need to talk about the nuts and bolts around that. But I would say whatever your online experience is, don't see it as the end of the road. Right? Don't see it as a place where you want people to finish and land and permanently be there. And that is why I would not keep it or not treat it as a separate campus, because you want campuses to be there. I mean, you don't want people switching in between campuses. You want people to be at the campus and to be fully engaged there and to find community. So I would really look at the live stream or the online experience as a way to move people in. Now, having said that, should there be someone designated to it? Yes. Do they have to be a full-time campus pastor for it? No. But should it be your communications person? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think this can actually be a way to stretch someone. We've talked about stretch experiences in terms of leadership development, probably more on the Five Leadership Questions podcast than we have here. But think about your, and you know, don't put your senior's adult pastor over the online campus, but put someone who is a digital native, right? So a millennial, for example, or a younger millennial, or even an older one, right? But put someone who is just a part of them, right? I mean, they know the internet, they know social media, they know all this. It just comes natural to them. And let's say they're your student guy, or they're your groups guy, or they're someone on your staff who loves that, or even your kids ministry person. Say, hey, can you be in charge of this? And they're like, but what about my other role? What about what I do on Sunday? What about this? And you're like, yeah, I know. I want you. This is a stretch experience, a stretch moment. I want you for the next 6 months to a year. Would you be willing to embrace this as a challenge to stretch you and for you to grow this ministry? Not that you run everything, but in a way for you to raise up a team of volunteers and others who can man this, who can bring people from and connect people who are coming there for the first time into the service and into a physical location, into a physical event.
Totally. And it does need to be someone who is, or at least somebody on that team needs to be reasonably theologically conversant.
Yes. And it could be your communications person, but that's why I wouldn't default there.
Right.
Oftentimes they're not.
This is also a tremendous opportunity for lay people in your church. Why did I say lay people?
Everyone understands that. Geiger's not here. It's fine.
but you know what I'm saying. Like,
Geiger's
tons
the only
of people,
one with big beef about that.
Yeah. Words build worlds. There's so many people in your church that would engage in something like this that can, you know, especially if you have some type of chat feature or watching people respond on Facebook or whatever to minister those individual people or peel them off to have more meaningful conversations or figure out how to plug them in. And sometimes it's helping them find a local church wherever they are if they're watching from far away.
Yeah, completely.
Because if not, I really do think, I mean, you know, I've debated with people back and forth whether or not you can actually disciple someone in that way. I mean,
it's a process.
I think it's the illusion. Yeah. I think it's the illusion of biblical community. Not biblical.
Yeah,
not
true, I think it's a part of it. Your online service should not be a cul-de-sac.
Yes.
Right? It's not a cul-de-sac. You can't end there. You have to keep on moving. And if they're not local, help them find a local church. All right. Well, thanks again for listening in. And hey, if you haven't yet checked out the Ask Me Anything podcast with J.D. Greer and Matt Love, be sure to do that. They're a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family. And they've talked about topics like, what would you say to an atheist? And should I expect to feel satisfied by my job? So just look up Ask Me Anything on your favorite podcasting app. Subscribe today. And if you haven't left a question yet, do so. Speakpipe.com/newchurches. And yeah, leave it. We'll answer it. Yeah. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.